Welcome to the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast, a place where we love a shoot and a work. Whether you're a fan of human cockfighting or watching oily men hold each other down for a free count. So today, episode 13, I am joined by Teddy Buckley. How are we, mate?
We're all good, mate. We're all good. It's a glad to be back on the show, mate. It's saying I love the intro. Love the intro.
So episode 13 today, we're sort of doing this one on the fly. We was on the phone with each other earlier. And then we was like, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this over the phone? I may as well hit record and we'll have a little chat. Basically, we haven't spoke to each other for a little bit. And then we're just catching up on what we've been doing, what's been going off in wrestling. Obviously, I haven't been keeping up with it like I used to, especially with the WWE. I've been watching some AEW, but that's even pissing me off at the minute. What's your thoughts currently of what's going on? What was the last pay-per-view? All Out?
Yeah, All Out, where we were very excited.
We was on a high, now where it's up, well, depending on your personal preference, whether you think we're still on that high or if we've come down a little bit. How are you feeling about it all?
I've come down a little bit, if I'm honest, mate. Everything was flying high. Punk returned. Then we had All Out, which were an amazing pay-per-view. You had Daniel Bryan debuting. You had Adam Cole debuting.
Maybe.
But yeah, it's one of them, mate, where I feel like there's some glaring, and I mean glaring, issues at the minute.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know about you, mate. I need to start off with this. So I feel this is a really good talking point for the two of us. Why are we forcing, right? The fans are booing Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is known to be a great villain in wrestling. Why are we forcing him to be a babyface?
I think it's all storyline. I think he's very aware of what he's doing. I actually think it's one of the better stories at the minute. I think fans are so used to getting their own way all the time now. They can just sort of scream, no, I want you to be a good guy, and then someone becomes a good guy or a bad guy or heel or face or whatever. I think this is a drawn-out story. People are supposed to be getting pissed off. They're supposed to be getting annoyed. I think Cody's not as blind to it as people think he is. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. Although the beating Aleister Black made me doubt whether I'm right or wrong on this. Because I thought, maybe not then. Maybe not.
Yeah, it's one of them where I feel Aleister Black, or Malakai Black, as he is now known, should have been undefeated for a long time. I'm not necessarily saying go for the belt, but I feel
it should be an attraction.
Yeah, exactly. It should be like, oh shit, no one's beat. Not like when he first came into NXT.
Yeah.
It's one of them where it's just very, 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 very bad. It's the same for me.
Yeah. Yeah, very, 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 very bad. Sums it up. So, before we properly get into it, I've got a little segment for you. Obviously, we've done this on the fly. I've had some of this written down for a little bit anyway, just because I was getting it all out of my brain. So that's how my brain works. I'm going to start off with a little segment called Vince Strikes Again.
Okay.
It's basically, what's Vince been up to recently? So, I don't know if you've seen the news that he's decided he wants shorter referees now.
I saw some videos online and I didn't click on them purposely, and just for the sheer reason, well, I thought I knew what it was, but you've kind of confirmed what I thought. So
yeah, he says the referees are too big, but he wants smaller referees to make the wrestlers look bigger, because the fans are idiots, and if you do that, they'll just automatically think everyone's 7 foot,
because that's what everyone wants. Because that's what I've wanted for my wrestlers. I've always thought, I wish you were all 7 foot.
Yeah.
I wish we had 20. I wish we had 50.
I usually think to myself, I know this guy's 6'4", but he's just not big enough for me. And then if you're standing next to a small wrestler, my brain goes, oh, look at him, he's 6'7". Now I like him.
I've always thought that. I've always thought, no, I want 50 great Carlies, you know, with that sort of movement as well. I thought, hang on, that's what I want for my wrestling.
The technical ability.
Yeah.
Also, he's banned another word. So he's got a new word banned. I don't know if you know about this.
No, I don't actually. This one's a new one. Let's see what's the word.
The word Ontario is now banned. So they're not allowed to say they're in Ontario. They have to call it Southern California. What do you think of that?
What is that? What?
Why?
So if people listening to this don't already know, Vince has got a strict list of words and phrases that are banned from commentators or wrestlers doing promos. They're not allowed to say these certain words. And Ontario's now part of that list.
But it's a place. What about if they do a show in Ontario?
Then they're in Southern California.
Why? I don't understand that one. That makes no sense.
Yep.
I know Vince is like on it generally. Like fair. I don't. I can sometimes get some sort of logic in what he's doing or what he's thinking. But that one, I haven't got a fucking clue.
I mean, for me, it's just water off a duck's back at this point.
Yeah.
It's just comedy value. I don't really watch WWE much anyway. But let's move on from that anyway. So I just want to touch on the next predictions we're going to be doing. We haven't done any pro wrestling predictions for a bit. I didn't want to do Crown Jewel because it's basically...
Blood Money?
Blood Money, yeah. It's built on Blood Money. So I didn't want to dirty my hands with that one. But we will be doing Full Gear and Survivor Series. I think Full Gear is before Survivor Series, if I'm right.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So probably do both of those on the podcast. We'll figure that out as it comes along. Next bit of news. So I'm just going to fire some stuff at you, see what you think. Obviously, Bray Wyatt's 90-day no-compete clause is now up, but he's not shown up anywhere just yet.
Until tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night? What's tomorrow night? Dynamite.
Yeah, say no, but no, I don't know. I really don't know where, but I don't want him to go to AEW because it's obvious. I really want him to go to Impact, which is the one that I've heard of, which interests me a little bit more than the others.
The only problem with Impact is it's hard to watch. It's hard to find the channel or actually get it on your TV so you can watch it.
What are you trying to say? That the app doesn't work and that instead of troubleshooting it, they prefer to just refund you the money back? Is is that what you're trying to say to me?
That did happen to me. That did happen. I know you know about that. Anyone's for anyone who's listening, I downloaded the app. It wouldn't work. So I sent them a message just asking them how I'm supposed to mirror it onto my TV. And instead of responding to me to tell me how to do it, they just deleted my account because apparently you can't do that. So,
yeah,
great customer service. But yeah, I think Impact would be interesting, but I think we're talking AEW, aren't we, really?
Yeah, I tell you what I would like, and like a little bit of a... Because I don't like where we're going with Andrade and Malakai Black as like some sort of duo. That's a pretty stupid duo in my eyes, because it doesn't make any sort of sense.
It's very Vince McMahon when they did Aleister Black and Ricochet. Just put them in a tag team because they're both moving up.
Yeah, it seems like a stupid tag team. Like, it's like, that's the fit. Like, this is what I mean with AEW at the moment, and we'll probably touch on this as a little bit more. The cracks in the fucking booking are starting to show a little bit now.
Yeah.
It's starting to get a little bit tedious at times. So the obvious thing that I'd do is I'd bring Wyatt in. Well, Wyndham, whatever he's going as.
Wyndham,
nowadays. Yeah, Wyndham Rotunda, innit? So Wyndham is doing that. I'd bring him in and pair him with Malakai and maybe bring in what's his face? Eric Redbeard, is it?
Yeah.
Is it,
yeah. And Strowman. Yeah. Strowman's out there, isn't he?
And Strowman and create like a new version, like a better version of the Wyatt family, but without the bullshit. Without the swamp matches and shit like that.
A lot of people are obviously constantly tying him to the Dark Order because of the Luke Harper connection. I think if they don't do that, I don't know what's next for the Dark Order. They need to get rid of him, I think, because it's changed the channel TV for me at this point. I don't understand what the Dark Order are.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. And the whole Hangman going away to go and look after his baby, which I'm not begrudging the lad doing whatsoever, is a fair play. It's just I feel that's hindered him massively because they were full swing. Yeah. Say they had all this momentum and then they lost that match. So Hangman lost his title opportunity. And then that kind of killed Dark Order in the had like a knock on effect to the Dark Order massively. So then you had the infighting, like it were all gonna, they're gonna all split up, and now Hangman's back again, and now they're all back together and fine. It was just, there were no consequence, if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. Although I was at, well, I was in the exact same boat as you, with your feelings on he shouldn't have left so long. But the promo we cut on Dynamite after he came back, I thought that fired everything back up again. I was like, right, yep, yeah, I can forget about that long absence. His promo was good. It was fiery. It was passionate. I was like, right, here we go. It's back. Then last week on Dynamite, you killed the entire thing dead for me. It was a shame to watch because, again, I know you've been a fan of AEW longer than me, but I've really been getting into it, especially since All Out. And then the main event of Dynamite, with the world champion in it, the top guy in your company, they came out dressed as the Ghostbusters. I think you had a cowboy in there, a Pocahontas. You had a guy dressed as the God of War or whatever.
Kratos.
And I was like, this is your main event scene. And then obviously Hangman, who's supposed finally, after all this time, confronted Kenny Omega. It was dressed as the... What's the character?
Stay Puffed. Is it, yeah. Stay Puffed or is
something like that?
The Marshmallow Man out of Ghostbusters. Yeah.
So that's when he finally confronts him and attacks him, gets physical with him. He's dressed as the Marshmallow Man.
It echoed back to a time in WWE where dumb shit like that went off. As you say, it screamed like pre Attitude Era WWE. For me,
yeah. You know, I think the problem for me was, well, there was a few problems, but the booking didn't make sense, because if you look at it this way, he was stood on the outside the entire time, secretly dressed as the Marshmallow Man, and watched his supposed friends in the Dark Order get the shit kicked out of him, and just stood there, watched him get the shit kicked out of him, just so he could do his surprise. So, unveiling. Problem with that is, if they're your mates, you don't just stand there and watch them get beat up. You should have jumped in straight away. The booking didn't make sense. He should have jumped in before the beating and stood tall with them and then fought off the elite or something. The way it was booked was horrible. The costumes were horrible. Everything was... It was just a piss take of their own show.
So, I don't know if you know this, or read this. Everything was last minute. Because they wanted to use the Squid Games, that new show that's out on Netflix.
Yeah, but I heard this. Yeah,
but they got in trouble. Well,
the networks didn't think it was big enough.
Yeah, the show. So they got someone to, because the guy that did their music like was stuck in traffic, is saying that did the music in like half an hour, 40 minutes, like on the fly. So
I think there was too much focus on what we're gonna dress up as. How we're going to do this? Maybe focus on wrestling, or maybe the story or the angle. Maybe that should be front and center, and you can put some fluff around it. But maybe the fluff shouldn't be the centerpiece, and then you build your story around that. You're just desperate to dress as something. Maybe don't dress as something for this episode, or maybe reference something else. But it's killed the. I mean, Adam Cole came out at All Out, and the buzz around him was amazing. But now I'm a bit like, he's just constantly in 10-man tags with the Young Bucks. He's just pissing around, joking around like a child. That sort of childish humour, which I'm a bit childish. It's just, it could be so much better. That's what I'm saying.
See, I feel this like shows my feelings towards Impact, towards AEW at the moment. Angry face.
Yeah, no one can see that though on the audio podcast.
It's a plush with an angry face. It reverses into a happy face. So when AEW doesn't like do something good eventually, I can swap it up to happy face instead.
That's how it works, is it?
Yeah. That's how I'm going to judge it from now on.
So that's your main event scene of AEW anyway.
But like we're saying, you've touched on something that I feel has got a bigger talking point, is how you can go from being the most over thing in the world in NXT as Adam Cole, main event in TakeOver, after TakeOver, and then make a debut like he did it All Out, where he blew the fucking roof off the place. I'd probably argue that the Adam Cole fucking come out was probably more than the Daniel Bryan for me. I'd say it was the bigger pop. I'd say for me, I'd say to then just becoming a backseat player in the Elite.
I think Tony Khan needs to get a hold of the Young Bucks here and rein them in a little bit, because I think they make him a mockery of his show at this point. They can wrestle, and they're not very believable as tough guys, but they're not bad in a sort of a mid-card scene, I don't think. But the amount of talent on that roster, they're nowhere near as good as, or just as intriguing as some of those wrestlers on that roster. And it feels like they're just taking the piss out of the product all the time.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. There needs to be that little bit of a fun thing in wrestling.
Yeah, of course.
There's like a level to it.
There has to be. Yeah, it can't be constantly, though. You can have a bit of fun. When it's time to go, it's time to go.
Yeah, exactly. Like
even when they had that steel cage match, which I thought was quite good, they couldn't just have a really good steel cage match. They had to go over the top. They had to throw a trainer in covered in thumbtacks. And I was like, why wouldn't you just use a bat or something more traditional?
Yeah, no, I know you want to be different, lads. Don't get me wrong. I get that. But
it's so unbelievable, it just takes you back out of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like wrestling as it is already hard to believe. So you suspend your disbelief. Is it the word? Suspend your beliefs.
You suspend your disbelief.
Yeah, that's the one. But it's like, come on, lads, don't get me wrong, I get it, you don't want to be like WWE, you don't want to be like fucking super pretend serious all the time, but you've got to have like that air of seriousness. Like, I was quite happy that Mox smashed the fuck out of 10, not tried ripping his mask off. That's the most intriguing thing John Moxley's done in about 3 months.
I'm starting to warm to him now.
Yeah, for me, John Moxley's, I go through stages with Moxley. Some months I like him, some weeks I don't.
This is the first time I've liked him. I didn't really like him as Dean Ambrose. I liked him in The Shield. I've not liked him on his entire AEW run. But all of a sudden, there's something there. I'm seeing the sort of wild character coming out a little bit. So I'm quite enjoying that character a little bit now. But they've got to be very careful with it. It's a very fragile character.
Yeah, it's like... See, I think the worst thing that they did was give him the Wild Thing music.
Worst? I quite like that music.
Because he's supposed to be like a wild man and the crowd like singing along to it. I'd like to see Mox as like a dangerous sort of character.
Mm.
If you're going to have him savagely beat people up. This kind of sums it up quite nicely for me. Do you remember when Ciampa beat up Johnny the first time?
When he returned?
Yeah, when he came out with no music.
Yeah.
And he was beating Johnny up and stuff. I'd like to see him like that sort of character.
The only problem with that is, how long can you sustain that character before it gets boring? Because then you can never do a technical wrestling match. That's the problem. Because as soon as you do, the character dies flat. But in the short term, it works really well, so I agree. But it's not a very good long-term plan. Because eventually you're going to get a bit fatigued of, oh yeah, he comes out, beats somebody up, he's brutal, yeah, cool. Do you know what I mean?
I suppose we've already got, like, if they wanted that, thinking about it, they could just sign Nick Gage, another guy that fought Jericho.
Yeah.
The deathmatch wrestler, because he's like that.
And John Moxley.
Yeah. See, for me, I feel they wasted a big opportunity with having Suzuki over and not really doing anything with him with the Mox thing, because him and Moxley could have had some fucking... I know they had the match in Cincinnati in Moxley's hometown. I just feel we could have done a lot more with that, than we did, because he's now in Impact doing some stuff. So he's still over here. It's just... I just feel they've missed a big-time opportunity in that regard.
I agree. Right, what we'll do is, before we go to a break, Let's try and be a little bit more positive. Yeah, because we're getting quite negative, which is easy to do at the minute. But on a more of a positive note, I don't know if you're seeing the Mick Foley news.
No.
That he wants to do a cinematic match. I don't know how you feel about that, but he's willing to do a cinematic match. Hasn't said where. I don't know if he's looking at AEW or WWE, but he said he's definitely open to doing one more match, but cinematic.
So I'm interested in that, because I love Mick Foley. And I'll be honest, mate, after meeting him, he's one of the loveliest guys in the world, man. He's saying that feel he deserves a really epic send-off. Very similar to how The Undertaker got a great send-off.
Yeah.
And Mick Foley deserves the same.
I feel like you could do a lot with it. You could do the three faces of Foley. But I don't know who you'd put him against. Would it just be like a street fight or a cinematic street fight? Would you go more down the line of like what The Fiend was doing with Cena? Would you go through the three faces of Foley? I don't know really. I'm unsure how you'd book it or who it'd be against.
When the last time they did a cinematic match with him, it was really good. I'd put him in with someone like a Sting, maybe.
It's just the motivation I can't find. I'm trying to find who he could be against and
here's
why the motivation.
Here it is. I've got it. Right, he goes back to WWE. Edge versus Mick Foley. Have it as the sort of the end.
Edge is a face, though, at the minute, isn't he?
Yeah, but Edge... Is Edge a face? He's a very... He's very similar to Kevin Owens, a very anti-hero.
Is there anyone that he hasn't faced or got a pass with, but sort of is on the same lines of a Mick Foley? It could be like the past versus the present or something like that, or the future, maybe.
See, I toyed with Darby, but there's no sense in it.
No.
Because Darby is essentially this generation's Mick.
Yeah, I just can't think of anyone that would make sense.
Did you have anything with Taz?
Taz, but no.
Not Taz versus him. But not like Team Taz, not like they did with the Sting and Darby versus Cage and Ricky Starks.
Yeah, maybe. I'd have to have a serious think about it, but I can't think of anyone that it makes sense to have him against. But I just thought it was quite interesting to possibly do a cinematic match, seeing as that's what he's come out and said.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of an opponent. Maybe after the break we can think of somebody potentially.
Yeah, we'll have a think. Let's go to a break and we'll be back shortly. And welcome back from the break. So, obviously, before the break, having a little chat about a Mick Foley possible dream match. I think it stumped us both a little bit getting into that. Might even be possible to do maybe a fantasy booking Mick Foley episode down the line. I think that could be quite fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but we'll move on anyway. We don't want to do a full episode on Mick Foley potentially wrestling again. So we'll move on to a little bit more news. I've still got quite a little bit to go into. Did you see the Lance Archer botch on Dynamite?
Wow.
Was that Dynamite or Rampage?
I want to say it was Dynamite.
Yeah, I suppose, it don't really matter, but...
No, it was Rampage. Rampage, because I saw the news on the Saturday. It's Friday, mate, yeah.
Yeah, and it's basically... I know he's probably done I think he's done moonsaults in the past. But this is why big guys should stick to certain boundaries. I know you're not a fan of Jim Cornette, but I listened to him break down why big guys should do certain things and small guys should do certain things. Because if a big guy's doing all the moves of a small guy, what's the interest in seeing the small guy do it when you can see someone 5-6 inches taller, 100 pounds bigger, doing the exact same moves with more devastation? And I think this is sort of on that lines of, why is a 7-foot guy trying to do a backflip or a moonsault off the top rope? For anybody who didn't see it, he landed right on the top of his head. And they finished the match for some reason. I don't know why they didn't just call it, because Eddie Kingston was going to win anyway. So he could have just called it and Kingston would have won. Or done a count out. I don't know why he had to roll back in to get rolled up on the back of his neck. But what's your thoughts, really?
So for me, right, the one that showcases this to me, and it's one from wrestling years past, and it's one that could have probably ruined one of the biggest things in pro wrestling, and I think you know where I'm going with this. So Brock Lesnar doing his shooting star press and fucking landing on his head.
Yep, I was thinking that myself.
So if I'm a big guy, right, and I'm not being funny to every other big man that's in the business at all, but none of you are on Brock Lesnar's level. As I say, no one's on Brock Lesnar's level. I'll be honest, mate, I've found a whole new respect for Brock Lesnar over watching some older stuff again. That guy's a fucking different animal. Like, I don't understand how... I look at him and go, I don't understand how me and him are the same species of human. As say, he's like, nah, he's definitely something different.
He's definitely a freak of nature.
Yeah, 100%. As say, and I don't... And for me, if I'm a big guy, or if I'm like anyone like Tony Khan or anyone like that, I'm going, yeah, I want my big guys. My big guys could potentially be able to do that, but look at the fucking risk and the risk factor out of it. It's not worth it.
There's a risk, and like I've just said, if I can see a Lance Archer or a Brock Lesnar do a backflip, why am I going to be bothered about seeing Pac do it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you're taking the shine off the smaller guys by trying to do their moves, basically. If a small guy, again, Hurricane, if you remember the Hurricane, yeah, he used to jokingly do a choke slam.
Yeah, and it were amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, do you want to see Hurricane do the choke slam, or do you want to see Big Show do the choke slam? If he was hitting everybody with the choke slam and pinning them with a devastating choke slam, you'd be like, well, if he can do it, everyone can do it. But you reserved it for the big guys. Because it was their spot, basically. And there should be certain moves for certain weights or whatnot. If you get where I'm going.
Yeah.
But yeah, so obviously, I don't know what he's like. I don't know if you've seen any updates.
He's all right. Apparently, he should be back in the next couple of weeks, I think, the last.
It'd be interesting to see if he goes to the top rope or not again.
I hope not.
He shouldn't, but we'll see. Right, moving on. Have you seen the Ring of Honor announcement? They're closing the doors for now.
I'm really sad about this, and I was kind of hoping, right, that with so many superstars from years past, how much it was a home and an upbringing to them, like your CM Punk, your Samoa Joe, your like, there's like hundreds of Daniel Bryan. Like, I would have thought with the money between them all, they could have saved this.
Are they willing to though?
I don't think so, and I say, and maybe it's me. I think with Ring of Honor, and I think this is my thinking with New Japan as well at the minute. AEW, don't get me wrong, is a really great thing, but it's absolutely shafted the indies, because you've got a premium indie program in AEW. What's the point in me watching a third rate version of it?
No, I agree. It's maybe it's just it's time's come and gone. It was never getting any better than it was in the sort of early noughties, mid noughties, maybe.
He had his big period when I went to Mania 35 and they did the Garden with Ring of Honor, with the New Japan, sorry.
Yeah, they did like a co-show, didn't they?
And obviously with COVID, and then the biggest stars that they had, a lot of them got shafted in that, well, not got shafted, got rightly implicated in the speaking out movement. I can't remember what it was called. As I say, where you had Marty Skrull, who was a massive guy over there, get caught out. Then there was a few others, as I say, over in that business that got rightfully allegations of sexual harassment. Which is the right thing to happen. I think they've just fell unlucky. And to COVID, mate. COVID shafted him.
It's shafted a lot of people, to be honest. A lot of different businesses, companies. It's been tough. I know myself as a personal trainer who runs his own personal training business. Business is down a little bit at the minute.
Yeah. Exactly. As say, this, it's one of them, mate, where they've just fell unlucky. But I thought maybe someone would come in and save the day. And they may still do when they come back next year. I just don't think that next year is going to come.
As someone who was not a massive Ring of Honor follower in myself, would you be able to name the top three wrestlers from Ring of Honor, male or female, and where you think they'll go?
So Bandido and Rush, and the Briscoes.
Yep. Right, okay. Where do you think they'll go? Or do you think they'll go in the same place? Or are you thinking an AEW over an NXT or a New Japan? Or
so I think Bandido and Rush will probably head. I know which one's married to fucking Tessa Blanchard. One of them's married to her, and I can't remember which one it is.
You think they'll head where?
I think they'll go back to Mexico. I think they'll be like AAA.
Right.
Probably till next year. And then see what happens with Ring of Honor. And then if nothing happens with Ring of Honor, which unfortunately, mate, I've got a feeling that I'm coming back next year. I don't think next year will come.
Right.
I don't want to announce that we're closing down permanently. But yeah, we're not coming back. Because why would you, if you're going to pay people up till March and you're coming back till April, and you're coming back in April, why? Why wouldn't you just keep everyone on for that extra month?
Well, apparently it's because how much it's costing. And when they do come back, it's going to be on a per show basis, which obviously will cause a lot of problems. If you've got a champion and you're only paying them per show and you haven't got them under contract, at any point they can just go somewhere else and take your belt with them.
It's like, for me, Ring of Honor is MLW, if you've ever heard a promotion like that, where they are. I feel that Ring of Honor got overtook by them. Because if you notice, a lot of wrestlers go there now. Like, Enzo is doing a match over there. They say that's where MGF predominantly came from.
Was that where Leo Rush went?
MLW, yes. They say he went there for a little bit. They say, but Leo Rush has done everything, essentially. He went and did like a load of shows.
And retired at least six times as well. He's only like 24.
Exactly. I'm happy to see him back, though. They say he's really good, Leo Rush. They say, I know he's a bit of a dickhead, but...
Yeah, he's just not very, very small, though, isn't he? He's so small. Like, I'm not a sizeist in wrestling. Like, obviously, Adam Cole's not a big guy, but he's very believable for his size. But he's just so small, Leo Rush. He's like 5'2", 5'3".
Yeah, he's very, very tiny. Look at Rey Mysterio, man.
Yeah, Rey was the only one that really made his style work for him. I don't know. Maybe it's because I haven't seen him in a main event scene, maybe, but go on, what?
I saw an amazing meme. I forgot to send it. I'll send it after the pod. It's just said, this is the day I gave up on wrestling when Great Khali, Big Show and Mark Henry couldn't beat Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, 3-on-1 handicap match.
Yeah, it just made me laugh. It's quite entertaining.
Anyway, moving on. We'll start to bring things to a close soon. The American Top Team stuff, have you been watching much of that? As a big MMA fan, obviously, and someone who's trained, coached, and fought for the last 10 years in MMA, I was quite excited to see what they was going to do with the American Top Team. And I've been pretty disappointed, to be honest. Shall I tell you the worst part for it? Shall I tell you the worst part for me?
I think my current, you can't see this, but I've currently got my head in my hands, guys. That summarises my feelings towards it. Junior Dos Santos.
Yep. So not only was he one of the best heavyweights of all time, and he was the UFC heavyweight champion, not only, it's not like he was a wrestler or a jiu-jitsu guy, he was a power puncher, a one-punch knockout artist. Knocked out Cain Velasquez, who beat Brock Lesnar, if you don't follow MMA. So I was like, right, so they're going to put him on free TV for his first match, which is a bit disappointing, no build, right? But when I looked at it, I think it was a six-man tag. Again, a bit disappointing. Should be a one-on-one match for his first ever wrestling match. Six-man tag, I think it was, or eight-man tag. In my head, I was like, they have to sell this because they could make a big star of him. He's got good facials. He's a big character. He looks amazing. I thought he's got to destroy all three people on his own here for it to work. Jake Hager shouldn't be getting any offense on him because we're talking about one of the best of all time and then like a low-level pro. And then when he, I don't know if you saw the brawl he got into with Jericho, and Jericho dropped him and he rolled out the ring. So a 54-year-old Jericho got into a fist fight with Junior Dos Santos, put him on his arse, just Dos Santos rolled out the ring and walked away. Unbelievable.
So the one person I can't stand in all this, and it's not, I can't stand her for the wrong, it's for the wrong reasons, is Holly Holm.
Do you mean Paige Van Zandt?
Paige Van Zandt, whatever her name is, don't really care.
She's terrible in this, yeah. Yeah. Terrible facials, annoying. But it's just that Junior Dos Santos wasn't, it's not like we're talking about a really high level lightweight and Jericho and these other wrestlers are brawling with like a really good level lightweight. We're talking about the former heavyweight champion of the world. He should be putting people down with one punch. And the sort of worked punches he's throwing look terrible because he's trying not to hurt anyone because he can legitimately hurt you without even trying. Yeah. I just feel like they could have done this so much better. It was quite disappointing for me.
So for me, if you're going to do it, that match should have been a tag team match. It should have been the two wrestlers in Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky versus Jericho and Hager with, Masvidal and it was like the enforcer at ringside.
Yeah.
And he came in and hit his knee. This is how they should have been using Junior Dos Santos. He should have just been hitting one punch. Like Big Show. Like Big Show's got his fucking big right hand. And he knocks people out and you're knocking people out cold with on your WWE. That's what you fucking needed. That's trying what
to
you
mask,
needed.
Trying to mask what is obviously he's not a technical wrestler, so you've got to mask that. Should I tell you how I would have booked it watching it?
Yeah, let's go.
This is what I would have done. I'd have done a big build up. So I'd have done a big build up to Full Gear, and at Full Gear, it's going to be Junior Dos Santos 1-on-1 with Chris Jericho. You do a big build up for it. Jericho's cocky. He's wrestled for all these years. Dos Santos has never wrestled. What's he going to do? And then the match lasts about 20 seconds. Dos Santos just destroys him in a few punches, pins him, and you don't see Jericho for a while. And then you build to a revenge angle where Jake Hager wants revenge against Dos Santos. So then you build to Jake Hager versus Dos Santos. That's how I would... If you're going to use him, I think that's how you should have done it.
So the annoying thing for me is, right, so they had a perfect opportunity to do this as well, because I'm actually going to see Chris Jericho in concert next month. Well, this month. Is saying literally 3 weeks. I say he's over in the UK doing a show, or he's doing touring with Fozzy. Why not write him off now with the Junior Dos Santos fucking him up?
Yeah, in a few punches. Just if you're going to build a monster, guess what? This is a believable monster. The guy was the heavyweight cage fighting champion of the world and a true knockout artist. He's huge. He looks great. Just have him as a destroyer, and then this underdog sort of position that Jake Hager's in, trying to train or trying to prepare himself to face Junior Dos Santos. And you could have it that you can tell that he's actually quite intimidated and scared, but he's going to try and do it to get revenge for Jericho, or just drag it out a little bit. Why is he having tag matches? I know tag matches are supposed to hide people's flaws, but when do tag matches ever get over? Unless it's a really good tag team versus a really good tag team.
It doesn't, mate, unfortunately.
Just have a big attraction, Junior Dos Santos versus Chris Jericho at Full Gear. Obviously, it's too late now, but that's what I would have done. And then Jake Hager's nervous because he understands MMA. He really knows who Dos Santos is. Jericho was a bit cocky about it. Thinks that his 30 years in the business are going to help him win. And Dos Santos destroys him pretty quickly. A few big punches. Maybe drops him on his head or whatever. And that's that. And then you build to the revenge angle.
See, you could have done it like Rocky IV, the Drago versus Rocky thing, where Drago kills Apollo. I'm not saying you kill Jericho off, but like that sort of story where it's all about Hager fucking. He can come out in the red, white, and blue, like fucking.
He's gonna get revenge, you know, yeah. This is what
he's America's hero. Like that's what I mean. It's not even that hard. It's not that hard storytelling. See, it's an easy story to tell.
Yeah. Yeah, of course it is. You've got the former heavyweight champion. But anyway, let's move on from that because I don't know where it's going to go. Apparently, Dan Lambert's going to be in a match soon. That's what everyone's speculating. It's going to be Dan Lambert and the Men of the Year Summit versus Chris Jericho's faction. I forgot what it's even called, the Inner Circle.
There's one thing I just want to mention, just as a quick thing, and it's something that made me really happy. Was Sammy winning the belt.
Yep, problem is, he's now in a feud that doesn't need the belt. Yeah. So the belt's like in the background. This is American Top Team versus Inner Circle. Oh, and by the way, one of them's also the TNT champion. whereas that should just be a feud on its own. But that's just me picking at
straws.
Yeah, picking at straws there. But anyway, before we get off, the main thing I wanted to talk to you about, because I know how much you enjoy this wrestler, Charlotte Flair, or potentially in a few weeks' time, Ashley Flair. Yeah, all the hot water she's in the WWE at the minute. Is she going to be there much longer? Is she leaving? Is she AEW bound? What's your thoughts?
Vince, do me a favour, right? I'll never ask for anything again. You can book whatever you want. Please keep Charlotte away from AEW. Please keep her there. Do whatever the fuck you want. You've got to do. Just please iron this out. I don't want her anywhere near AEW. The women's division is starting to look all right in AEW, but Charlotte Flair comes over. She's going to be 16-time fucking AEW champion by the time it's March next year.
I think she could be in a good sort of La Familia, or I don't know how to say it in Mexican, yeah, but like a big, you could make a big stable where you've got Andrade and sort of his teammates from Mexico and Flair and her dad, and I think it could be intriguing, but I mean, I'm not a big Charlotte Flair fan, but I think the narrative they're trying to paint that she's unprofessional, I think that's unfair, because for the last 6 or 7 years, has there been a more professional woman in the WWE that's put up with more shit than her? She's remained professional to the business, heel and unlikable, but she's done everything they've asked of her. She's put up with everything they've asked of her, and it's got to this last few months, and she seems to be just sort of chucking her toys out of the pram now because she's had enough. You're not looking at the last 7 years or 8 years or 9 years of stories that she's had to put up with.
See, for me, I'm very similar to you, mate. There is a little bit of me that feels sorry for her. Because imagine someone for the last 6, 7 years have told you how great you are. I don't care who you are, you're going to get fucking... You're going to start believing your own hype.
It's not just that, though. But look what they did to her, though. So her WrestleMania feud was built around her dad having sex with her opponent and sleeping with her opponent. That was what Vince wanted to do. So she went along with it, and then her opponent had to have time off because she's now pregnant.
Yeah. Actually had the baby. Congratulations, Lacey Evans.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations. But so that was the feud, and then she was supposed to be at WrestleMania, and then one of the doctors mistakenly said that Charlotte Flair's tested positive as pregnant.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
Even though she wasn't, so she had to miss WrestleMania because WWE doctors made a mistake. So she had to sit out of WrestleMania, biggest payday of the year. The feud going into WrestleMania was terrible that she had to put up with. Then she had to put up with them firing her dad. And I feel like all these things that's happened to her this year, she had to put up with them firing her fiancé as well. So I feel like she's had to put up with so much in this last year that she's finally gone, you know what? I've done everything you've wanted me to do for the last 8, 9 years. You've fucked over my family. You've lost me a massive payday at WrestleMania. You've booked me in the worst feuds. She had to put up with the Nia Jax thing as well.
Mm.
And she tried to go through that match. She was trying to keep that match going, and Nia Jax just refused to. Just wouldn't sell anything. Just pushing her off. So I feel like she's had to put up with a lot, whether you like her or not. And then all the locker room's against her as well. So I think, let her go. You might be able to do a big heel faction or something with her. I don't know. But I actually feel a bit sorry for her, because I feel like she's had everything her sort of way, even though she's had to work hard for years. And this last year, everything's against her.
I do feel sorry for her, definitely, in the case with Rick, 100%. So I feel for me, Rick's been...
Just be aware, dude, you're making loads of noise in the background. I don't know what you're clicking and pressing.
Sorry, mate. I just caught my nuts from off my desk. Sorry, pal. So... So I feel a bit sorry for her, because in a way, as I say, with Rick, I feel he's been left high and dry with everything. As I say, where the things that Ric Flair's celebrated for, he's now hindered. He's now his biggest enemy because of it.
Yeah.
The guy built a career of being high flying, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing, and everyone loved that. His t-shirts, his merch, with everything like that on it. But now it's all a bad thing.
Well, at first it sounded like a catchphrase, and then when the reality is shed on it, that maybe he did force some women into positions that they didn't willingly want to be in, then obviously it gets quite dark.
Yeah.
I think in his younger days, he was just used to, in the territories he was in, they were just used to him. I think there was a lot of women that wanted to be with him. And then as he got older and they started traveling the world, a lot of the women didn't even know who he was.
Yeah, so exactly. Like
the flight attendants and some of the fans, or, well, not the fans, just if they're out in bars, someone that doesn't follow wrestling, and you can't. It's a tough one, isn't it? But if it comes out that, I mean, if it's true that he forced anyone into doing anything that was against their will, I don't really know what the repercussions should be, but it's tough to celebrate him.
Yeah, exactly. I won't mean it like I'm celebrating with play. It should be exempt from these things.
I know what you mean. We're both big fans of him. Both big fans. I've got his world title belt nameplates up there in a box. I'm a huge Ric Flair fan, but it's tough at the minute, isn't it? I feel like this last 2 years has been fucking horrendous. Whether it's COVID or stories coming out or rape allegations, or it's just insane.
Yeah, it's one of them where I feel there's been a lot of that in the industry, and they're saying now that it's like who was it that said, like, it's a carnival, it's like a travelling circus.
Yeah.
And like back in the day, and it's like starting, like, it was just a joke, but now the things, it's like coming home to roost how the business was and how bad it was.
Well, you've got to remember, before it was a travelling circus, it was all territories.
Yeah.
So you stayed in your territory, you might leave for a little bit and then come back. But then it became a travelling circus, and then people adapted to that. But the early days of it obviously was a bit insane, but the Dark Side of Ring stuff was really interesting.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I feel like we had a good brain dump there. Just sort of, we hadn't had a chat for a while. By the time this comes out, I don't know if any big news will have happened. Maybe Wyndham Rotunda, previously known as Bray Wyatt, will have showed up by then. There's a good chance. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we go? Obviously, we'll try and sort something out for Full Gear and Survivor Series.
No, I think, not really, mate. Not really.
Are you looking forward to brand versus brand, one time a year, Raw versus SmackDown, all the bragging rights? Are you excited?
Oh, yeah, that brand risk loyalty that matters a lot to people that were drafted, over about 2 weeks ago.
There's nothing to win, nothing to gain, other than bragging rights.
By the way, actually, there is one thing, right, and there's something it's actually two things I wanted to say. The first one is, I'm so happy that Xavier Woods has finally got something singles push-wise to hang his hat on.
it's like the monkey claw out of... is it Rick and Morty?
The Simpsons, where...
That's it, Where you get a wish, you get something, but then something horrible happens in return. So he managed to win the King of the Ring, but it was in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing's come of it. He's just got a crown, so...
And the other thing is how they can... How to kill a WWE champion within 2 months, or within a month. In Big E, where I'm already fed up already. See, they're just making him look like an idiot champion.
Yeah, I haven't been really watching it, but I've noticed a lot of people are calling for Seth Rollins to take the belt off him and do a Roman versus Seth. And then when I saw that, I was like, didn't he just lose to Edge? So surely Edge should be the number one contender.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
But remember, Saudi doesn't matter.
If you're not Roman Reigns, you're going to be flattened out. There's only one star in this company. But anyway, I think that'll do us today. I feel like we're starting to fatigue towards the end.
Yeah.
So much positivity, you can only put up with so much. But we will be back again for some predictions soon. Ted, where can they find you?
Twitch, which is Captain Cat Ears. TikTok, which is Captain Cat Ears. Instagram, Twitter, both the same again. But yeah, anything social media-wise, I'm on all platforms nowadays.
Yeah, and if you listen to this, obviously you know where you can find us. We're also on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Just type in the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast or the CPW Pod. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.